My wife and I got into a cab in London about a year and a half ago, and haven't stopped talking to the driver since. Will Grozier, a London taxi driver, is simply the best red man I know, and I work with Dan Shore. Will Grozier reads deeply, incessantly, and even indiscriminately, novels, histories, survival stories and philosophies, current books, remaindered books, old classics, and books long forgotten. Will joins us now from our studios at the BBC in London. Will, thanks for being with us.
Okay, Scott, good afternoon. Nice to hear you again.
Nice to talk to you again, Will. What have you been reading?
Well, Dan Brown, Da Vinci Code.
Everybody's reading that except me. If you must talk about the Da Vinci Code, okay. Well, why are so many people reading it? Why did you pick it up?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Coincidence. Last evening, I was working, as I always am, and picked up a guy at Heathrow. He had his head in the book, and as you know, my tendency is to talk to my customers. So I put it to him.
Yeah.
I said, well, you tell me why it's a good read, or why did you enjoy it? And this guy turned out to be a management consultant. Mm-hmm. And when you ask a management consultant a question, you don't get opinion, you get analysis. And what he said to me was, it's plot, plot, and plot. And so I have to thank Jake from Wisconsin, thanks very much, for just putting very simply into words what I intuitively understood about this book. In a world of instant access to information in the internet, we are thirsty for things that are hidden. And the fact of the matter is that the book has been so successful, it has now spawned almost a companion reader, which I'm sitting here looking, called Secrets of the Code, edited by Dan Burstein. And this book is literally full of source material. And so that's just a measure of the huge hunger for this kind of knowledge that people have, I think.
Have you read Philip Roth's latest?
I have.
The Plot Against America.
The Plot Against America, which I thought was a wonderful book because, obviously, the quality of the writing, mm-hmm. but also the very ingenious way in which he transposes the terrors of 1930s Germany into the heartland of America. And I thought that was a very, very clever device. And one of the serendipities of doing things like this is it then opens a whole back catalogue. I've now got, 25 books to read by Philip Roth?
Something like that. Well,
yeah.
He's in his 70s.
He's in his 70s, this book was lauded as being his seminal work, his best to date.
Will, generally speaking, what makes you pick up a book?
I think it's the places it takes you. I think that I'm about taking... My job is about taking people places. And the reverse of that is that I want to be taken places. And the way I do that is through books, particularly books that lead you to interesting individuals. Not so much stories. I mean, I love a great novel, mm-hmm. but I also love books that tell us things about history that perhaps we would not ever come to know or come to understand. Well, one of the ones that I've got here is a book by Peter Nichols, and it's a book called Evolution's Captain, and this is the story of Robert Fitzroy. Now, Robert Fitzroy is not a very well-known figure, but Charles Darwin is an immensely well-known figure, and if it wasn't for Robert Fitzroy, who was the captain of the Beagle...
That's how I know the name, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you know the name. And what happened was that the British Navy found itself in a position where it had a surfeit of ships and well-qualified captains just after the Napoleonic Wars, when we really didn't have a war to fight. Mm-hmm. So what they did was they sent all these guys off on journeys of expedition, and Fitzroy was given the task of charting the coast of South America. And he wanted a companion to travel with him on what was a 2 or 3 year journey. And Darwin got the trip, and hence discovered what he'd found in the Galapagos Islands, and the world could have been a different place but for Mr. Fitzroy. And you didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't know any of that. So what's the book called again?
It's called Evolution's Captain by Peter Nichols.
We're in the middle of spring training, and I understand you've been trying to prepare for it in your own way.
Baseball is as impenetrable to us English as cricket is to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, Stephen Jay Gould is again a writer, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at a book here called Life's Grandeur. Now, this has been published in the US as Full House. He's changed the title, and one of the first things that you come across is a baseball primer for British readers. And in the space of 1, 2, 3, 4, about a half a dozen pages, mm-hmm. he explains with wonderful clarity how baseball works.
Dr. Gould, we should explain, was a famous baseball fan. Alas, he did not live to see his beloved Red Sox win what we still insist on calling the World Series, despite the fact that they also play baseball in Japan and Mexico and a lot of other places.
Right. He uses baseball as an analogy to some of the points he's trying to make. And I haven't read the book, but I surely will.
London taxi driver Will Grozier speaking with us about books. Will, nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Scott.